I'm going to take my text this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 2. I want us to read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 1 to verse 2. Maybe I should read it from here. I'm going to read in King James Version. Then I'm going to read in NIV. How that in a great, I said verses 1 to 2. I'm starting from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their due poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now let's take it in NIV. And that will now throw more light on it. And I want to listen. And now, brethren, listen to that. We want you to know about the grace that has been given, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Bible talks about a grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now what's that grace? Verse 2. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. When I was meditating and pray about this passage, what came to my mind is what I call the paradox of Christian living, as exhibited by the Macedonian, and it comes by grace. Paul was telling us here that we should know of a certain grace that was given unto the Macedonians. And what is that grace? It's a paradox. They have overflowing joy in the midst of severe trial. Can you imagine? When somebody is going through severe trial, how can that person have joy? But it's not only joy. Said they have overflowing joy in the midst of severe trial. That's why I titled this message, The Macedonian Joy. It's uncommon. It can only be found among the Christians. It can only be found in the household of God. It can only be found when you have the Spirit of God. It can only be found when you know who you believe in. It's not just common. It cannot be faked. Severe trial, yet overflowing joy. This morning, the Lord will give the Macedonian joy. This morning, the Lord will cause your life to radiate, to exude Macedonian joy every time in the mighty name of Jesus. And the other time he said that, and their extreme poverty well up in rich generosity. The first one is overflowing joy in the midst of severe trial. Then you now have rich generosity in the face of extreme poverty. How can somebody suffering from extreme poverty demonstrate generosity, not to talk of rich generosity? Let me tell you something. Bible doesn't waste words. God doesn't waste his words. Anything, any adjective you find in the Bible is for a purpose, is for emphasis, is not for repetition, it's not for verbosity, it's not for loquacity. God does not waste his words. If God is saying that this will demonstrate rich generosity in the midst or in the face of extreme poverty. See, the two were qualified. Poverty was qualified. Generosity was qualified. That these people, they were not just in poverty. They were in extreme poverty. And out of that extreme poverty, because of the grace of God upon their life, because of the kind of persons they were, because of their study of who God is, they were not only generous, but they demonstrated extreme, they said demonstrated rich generosity. One thing that came to my mind, I was trying to meditate about what is this extreme, what's an example of rich generosity in the face of extreme poverty? And I just came about the passage in the book of Mark chapter 12 verse 44 about the widow. And I had to go and read again. And I saw what the Lord said about this widow. Mark chapter, chapter 12 verse 44. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. If you take it to King James version, it says the same thing. Said that this woman, for all they cast in out of their abundance. Jesus was talking, looking about a service, about what was going on in a service, and are people dancing. Today is a Thanksgiving Sunday. Some people, they have 1 million, and they give 10,000, and we'll be clapping for them. But some people have only 100 naira, and they give 100 naira. Who has given more? And that what the Bible said, for they did cast in out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, all her living. All her what? Her living. Nothing to go back home to depend on. Rich generosity in the midst of extreme poverty. What am I saying this morning? I don't want us to let whatever we are facing, whatever we are going through, to calibrate, to modulate, to mitigate the way we show joy in the presence of the Lord or our belief in God. This morning, I am praying for the Macedonian joy, for every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm believing God that this morning, the Lord will release the grace for the Macedonian joy into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. When you have the Macedonian joy, you will not be troubled. Yes, you might, you are concerned about what you are facing, about what you are passing through, but it does not take away your joy. Now, I want us to make a contrast. From what I read about the Macedonian, it then came to me that we actually have a choice. And the choice is yours to make. The choice is mine to make. And I want to look at that contrast, where we make that choice. First, I want us to look at the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 12. The book of Joel chapter 1 verse 12, KJV. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. Look at this. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all trees of the field are withered. It seems like that there's a semicolon. Was telling you all the story of woes, of the trouble, of the challenges, how the fine tree has been dried up, how the fig tree is languishing, how the pomegranate, the palm tree, how everything, the apple tree, everything in the field, how they are withered. But now look at it. Can we read it together? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. The first thing the enemy tries to do to get people down is to make sure that he wither your joy. And the moment he is able to succeed in taking away the joy, every other thing will not go right. The problem was not with the dried vine. The problem was not with the languishing tree. The problem was not with the dry pomegranate. The problem was not with the unfruitful apple. The problem was not with the unfruitful or non-productive trees in the field. But the problem was that the joy of men had been withered away, and therefore they had no motivation to tap into the grace of God to revive the vine. They had no motivation to receive anointing to revive the vine tree. So this morning, if enemy has been trying to erode your joy, if the enemy has been trying to wither your joy, I pray in the mighty name of the Almighty God that the hand of the Lord will cause the hand of the enemy trying to wither your joy to wither away right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So now let's contrast this one to what we find in the book of Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. Remember, I'm talking about Macedonian joy. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. I want it in King James Version, please. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. Now listen to this. We saw the story in Joel. What happened to some people because they made a choice? They allowed the enemy to wither their joy. Now let's look at what is in the New Testament, the Acts of Apostles. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Verse 26. Therefore, see the other one, because. When you are, for those who are in English, you know that the second part is depending on the other one. The first one, this happened because. That's also said the preamble or the precondition said, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Therefore, now in that verse 24, look at what David, the Bible was talking about David. Little wonder when the Bible say David encouraged himself in the Lord. When people look at when people say David was dancing and people are wondering why should they keep dancing like this. If you look at that verse 25 rather, the Bible was saying that he said, I foresaw. Go to that verse 25 again, please. He said, I foresaw. What does it mean to foresee? You see before you see. That is simple David of to foresee. Are you agreeing with me? It has not yet happened. Do you get what I'm saying? He was not talking of what has happened. He was not talking of what he had in physical evidence. He said, I foresaw the Lord before me. To foresee is to see before you see. But many of us, it is what we see that affects and calibrates our attitude. But David said, I foresaw. He was here to see the Lord. Many of us, we are waiting for the hand of the Lord. Many of us were waiting for a miracle. Many of us were waiting for the moving of the water. But we are yet to see it because we have not seen it. We are waiting since January to August. We are waiting for several years. It has not happened. Therefore, we are troubled. David had not seen it yet. But he said, I foresaw. So to foresee, to see before you see. My friend, this morning, you are waiting for a miracle. It has not yet happened. See before you see it. You are working for a breakthrough. It has not yet happened. See him before you see it. You are waiting for an answer to a critical prayer. See him before you see it. You are waiting for an elevation. It has not yet happened. See it happening before you see it. David said, I foresaw. He said, after, because he said, I foresaw the Lord always for me, for he is on my right hand. Jesus was not yet there. He couldn't see him physically. Said, it's about that I should not be moved. He foresaw it. This morning, I want to let you know, the enemy tried to let people, so enemy want people to foresee failure. And he wants to dwell more on that. He wants to foresee shame. He wants to dwell on that. He wants to foresee poverty. He wants to dwell on that. He wants to foresee rejection. But David said, I foresaw the Lord. So what is your choice this morning? If you need to have the Macedonian joy, you must make the choice to see before you see. Because let us not deceive ourselves. What affects us emotionally, psychologically, it has a lot to do with what we are seeing around us, through of us. But you can decide to see something else. You can decide to see something that's not yet in the environment, but which you know your God and my God has the ability and capability to make to manifest, to come to pass. This morning, I want to charge us that please let us decide to make the choice to see before we see, and let us convert to have the Macedonian kind of joy, the joy that brings us to a place of overflowing joy, even in the midst of severe trial. The joy that makes us to demonstrate rich generosity, even in the midst of extreme poverty. That woman could have gone away. That widow could have gone away and said, look, I don't have anything. Why should I also give? But it took the joy, a special kind of someone who was not bitter, who was not angry with God, to be able to do what she did. So this morning, what is the choice we are making? Because I'll just say quickly a few things about the characteristics of the Macedonians that made them to have this kind of joy. The first thing I want to say is that the Macedonians, they made up their mind to choose joy, to be joyful in the face of any physical or environmental circumstances. And that way, when we look at the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, say, rejoice in the Lord. It's a decision you need to make. You can tell yourself that I have chosen to be joyful in spite and despite whatever the circumstances I'm going through. It's a decision you have to make. Let me tell you, the environment cannot dictate that one to you. No matter, let me tell you, go and ask even President Donald Trump of the United States of America. He cannot be happy all the time. Ask President Muhammad Buhari of Nigeria. He cannot be happy all the time. Ask Governor Oyetola of Osun State. He cannot be happy all the time. But you are the one that who can only Christian can take that decision. Wealthy people cannot do it. Political leaders cannot do it. Celebrity cannot do it. It can only take the grace of God. So you can decide from this moment that from now onward, I want to be like a Macedonian. I want to add the Macedonian joy. And what does that mean? That in the face of our situation, I must be joyful. And the second thing that I could see from Macedonian is that they chose to defeat anxiety by resting in the Lord. Anxiety is a major challenge. When people are anxious, don't get me wrong, we all have concerns, we have worry, but you can choose to defeat that anxiety by having a rest in the Lord. After you have done all you need to do, after you have prayed all you need to pray, After you are taking all these steps, you need to take rest your spirit in the Lord. Don't let your mind and your spirit be given to anxiety. Don't let anxiety take your life over. That, you see, because if you are too anxious, the enemy will take even the hope you are supposed to have in the Lord, will take it away from you. And you know, hope is the oxygen for faith. If there is no hope again, don't need to have faith in anything. It's only who see somebody who can hope in somebody that can say it's exercising faith, true of us. Am I right? If you don't have hope in anything again, there's no need to have faith. True of us. So hope is the oxygen for faith. So you must choose that I don't know the kind of anxiety in your mind this morning. Is it your forthcoming exam? Am I going to pass? Am I going to be admitted? Is it your business? Is it going to go down? Is it going to go? Is it going to come up again after this pandemic? Is it the plans you have? Am I going to really make it again? Anxiety on so many areas. But you can choose that you will now you allow this not to be the one that will be the dominant in your mind. And the third thing we can also say that the Macedonian, they chose to do that. They chose to dwell in the joy of the Lord. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 30, I want to read quickly because of my time. Say, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And quickly, I want to let you know, the Macedonians, they realize that the word of God gives hope. They realize that the word of God gives hope. Many of us, when we are in trouble, we believe in the counsel of friends, of spouse, of family, or even adversary of government. And when these things fail, we are flattened. But the Macedonians, they believe that the word of God is the one that gives hope, and therefore they head on to it. Can you take more time from now onward? Anytime you are anxious, anytime you are troubled, dig into the word of God that deal with that situation and hold on to it. Anytime something is always knocking you down, something is hitting you up, dig into the word of God that deal with that particular matter that's hitting you up and hold on to it. Macedonia did not just exude this kind of joy. They were only able to do that because they knew that it's the word of God that gives hope. And finally, I want to say, the Macedonians, they were able to have this kind of joy because they realize that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit brings joy. What did I say? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit brings joy. If you look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17, I'm not going to read it. It says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. At times, let me tell you this, something I've done several days. When I'm bothered, I'm troubled, but I just decide to speak in tongues. I just begin to just worship God in the Spirit. I don't know what to say. I'm troubled. I'm worried. I'm baffled. I'm confounded. And I just find it difficult to know what to do. I just begin to speak in tongues, just to worship God in the Holy Spirit. I just begin to worship God in the Holy Spirit. And I've seen it that after a while, I will see a kind of a joy coming from where I know not. I don't know if anybody of us has experienced this kind of thing before. Raise your hand if you have. God bless you. This is something I do. Because all of us, we are battered sometimes. There's nobody who doesn't go through the kind of battery. There's nobody who's not sort of beaten by the weather of life. So when such things come, I like to behave like the Macedonian who realize that the fellowship of the Holy with Holy Spirit brings joy. So I just go before the Lord. If I speak at that point in time, I might speak what will not be good. I might speak what the enemy may use against me. And I don't want the enemy to use my word to witness against me. And so what I do is just to worship God in the Holy Spirit. And by the time you, so to say, condemn yourself in court, in the presence of the Lord, worship God in the Holy Spirit. After a while, I just find out that I see joy coming and I ask myself, where is it coming from? It's not as if the situation has changed. It's not as if I've seen physical evidence. So I see joy, and when people see me and they think that I should be worried about this thing, and they see me, I'm happy. They be wondering what's happening. I myself know that it's not me. It's because so what should God do this? What am I saying? Anytime we are troubled, let us take time to what should God do this. See, this song that said that when my heart is overwhelmed, please take me to the rock that's higher than I. Because when you speak in tongues, you speak in a known tongue, you speak mysteries. It's beyond you. It's beyond your own intercessory ability. Say, when I am overwhelmed, just take me to the rock that is higher than I. And finally, as you want to close, I want to round up this message this morning. I want you to know that no situation is hopeless that should make you to lose your joy. No condition can be so bad that can make you to lose your joy. See, the greatest thing that can happen is when sin has flattened a man. But even the mist on the face of that, when you call on God and you log on to Him, the Lord will turn this around. This morning, we are just going to pray for a few, just short prayer, and I'm trusting God by the mercy of God that Lord will turn your sadness, your soul to joy in the mighty name of Jesus. If you look at something that's really interesting in Esther chapter 10, I don't know whether I should read Psalm 31, 24, or I should read Esther 10, 2, or I should read two of them. Okay, let's read two of them. First of all, let's read Psalm 31, verse 24, as we close this service, or this message rather. And now come back to Esther. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. As we wind down August, as we move into September, even if nothing seems to happen, be of good courage. The Lord will strengthen your heart. Keep your hope alive in Him, and you will see Him manifest His power. See it before you see it. Decide to see with the eye of the Spirit before you see with the eye of the flesh. Now, Esther 10, verse 2. And after that, we are just going to rise up and pray. Esther, you are ready from here? Or is it not correct? And Shekaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Esther, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet, see, there's a colon also after that. Do you notice that? Yet, now, there is hope in Israel concerning this. It's only the devil that will tell people there's no way out. It's only the devil that will say, look, this case is closed. This situation can never change. Things cannot be better. See, Shekinah was telling Elam here, sorry, was talking to Esther here, that look, we have done the unimaginable. We have done the worst before God. God, we have fallen to throw. I remember when I was unbeliever, we used to say, look, in the secondary school, we used to joke that, look, we will so sin so much that when God wants to throw us, he'll be so angry, but he throws fear. We just overtake the head. We land in heaven. Because God is throwing us out of anger. Why are you so bad? Now we throw you away into hellfire. By the time you want to throw us into hell, we just fly overhead and land in heaven and say, hey, God, I beat you to it. That's a foolish talk. God is no man. And but that was when we used to deceive ourselves when we're unbelievers. And maybe there are some people this morning who are listening to me or who are hearing me or watching this message or listening to this message online who are also having the kind of stupid jest and jokes and thinking that God is a jester, is a clown. No. He was telling them that, look, we have done unimaginable, but yet there's still hope. So if there is anybody who is watching me this morning or listen to me, and your situation is terrible, you are wallow in sin, you are gone so far in the world, this is something for you. No situation can be too terrible for God to handle. He said that none that comes to me will I cast away. So, and not to talk of you if you are a Christian. If you are an unbeliever, there is hope for you if you come to the Lord. Not to talk of you who is a child of God. Whatever the enemy has done, whatever you might have done, there is still hope for you. Can you just stand on your feet this morning and just cry unto God in mercy? If you are watching me online, you are here to give life to Christ. The first prayer you need to pray, or even if you are in the church now, auditorium, whether the gallery or the main auditorium, and you know you are still not living for Christ, the first to cry for mercy, that God will have mercy upon your life and come back unto Him. And for everybody and anybody who is battling with a terrible situation, a terrible condition, something that is hitting you up, something that is knocking you down. Yes, you are walking, but you are being knocked down spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, financially, materially, or socially, in every respect. Can you begin to cry unto God this morning? That God, I see you always beside me. I know you are God that turn things around. I know you are God that all the power in heaven and the earth. He says in verse 13, verse 8, behold, the height of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. Can you tell God, Lord, I hope you will be the mercy this morning? You can project that Psalm 13, verse 18 for people to read as they pray into it. Psalm 13, verse 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. He said, behold, the height of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. Can you begin to thank God this morning? Yes, I'm hoping in your mercy. Lord, have mercy upon my life. Have mercy upon my life. Pray regarding your situation. Pray regarding that thing, that issue that has troubled you, that has confounded you. Ask for the mercy of God to turn it around for you this morning. And begin to ask for the grace of God that brings a kind of a joy as well by mercy. Begin to ask this morning for the Macedonian joy. As shown in that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Begin to ask for the grace, for the Macedonian joy. It's the joy that turns things around. It's the joy that puts enemy to shame. It's the joy that brings victory in the midst of defeat. Begin to ask for the Macedonian joy. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Hey, hey, hey. You are Yahweh. You
You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega.
You are Yahweh.
You are Yahweh.
You are Yahweh.
You are Yahweh.
Talk about the Alpha and the Omega. You are talking about the beginning and the end. At the beginning, the Lord had a good purpose for your life, and therefore you cannot end without fulfilling that purpose. Now begin to ask God, because you are the Alpha and the Omega. Begin to defeat the purpose of the enemy for my life, and let the fullness of your purpose begin to manifest in my life. Begin to pray. Just pray that prayer, and after I'm going to run up. Just tell God, you can say like, you can say silently. Just tell God, Lord, I know despite whatever is happening, it will end well for me. All shall be well with me. It will end well. Lord, I am not perturbed by what I'm passing, by what I'm facing. Lord, because of the confidence I have in you, I know it will turn out well for me. I know it will turn out well for me. The enemy has been speaking lies into your ears. The enemy has been speaking lies into your mind that you are not going to end well, that your joy will not be full, that things are gone over. But just thank God this morning. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you. It end well for me. All shall be well with me. I know all shall be well with me.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all very good.
Heavenly Father, I lean upon your throne of mercy this morning. I stand upon the rock of ages, and I stretch my hands towards your people. Those who are here in the main auditorium, in the gallery, those who are on the altar, those who are in the pew, those who are watching online, those who are listening, as I stretch my hands this morning, whatever matter, whatever issue, the enemy asks you to traumatize their lives, to try to wither their joy, Lord, this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I terminate the occupancy of that issue in their lives today, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everything that the enemy has used against their life today, the power that reverses, by the power of the Almighty God, let those issues be reversed in their life this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, is it lack? Is it poverty? Is it sickness? Is it lack of marital joy, satisfaction? Is it barrenness? Is it want? Is it worry over spouse? Is it worry over children? Is it worry over career? Is it worry over subsistence? Is it worry over healthy living? Lord, whatever may be the matter today, let the host of heaven attend to them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever is competing with the joy of God in their lives today, I take out of their lives, out of their way, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever issue is saying, they will not rejoice in you. Whatever issue is struggling, that they will not rejoice in you, that their joy you will not be full. Lord, today, I rebuke them.
Amen.
Lord, today, I speak against them.
Amen.
Lord, today, I cast them out of their lives, out of their ways, out of their destinies, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, let there be a release of Macedonian joy.
Amen.
Upon your people.
Amen.
The kind of joy shown in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Lord, let there be an outpouring.
Amen.
Of the Macedonian joy.
Amen.
Upon your people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And let there be outpour your spirit, O Lord God, upon your people, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. For in Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
Let us put our hands together for the Lord.